I don't hear anything. Is everybody here? Yeah. Amen. Thank God for Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm thinking about putting my coat back on because my wife just told me I look like a motivational speaker. That's the last thing I want to look like. If you're a motivational speaker, I don't mean any harm. But sometimes I see and I hear those people. I'm just like, I hope this is going to be real. You know, don't give me anything fake. But I'm going to give you God's word. So I promise you, this is not a motivational speech. This will be a Bible message. Good to see everybody here on Wednesday night prayer meeting. I trust you had a good season of prayer in your prayer groups. If you have your Bible, take it and open it to the book of Psalms number 13. Psalm 13 tonight. I trust this will be a help and a blessing to you. When you found it, let's all stand to our feet. We'll read Psalm 13, the entirety of the Psalm, 6 verses. I have a word of prayer and preach the message God's laid upon my heart tonight. Psalm 13, verse number 1. The Bible says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for another privilege to be in your house tonight with your people. Thank you for another opportunity to open your word, to preach, and Lord, to listen, to apply to our life. I pray, God, that you would remove every hindrance that would be here that would hinder the work that you desire to accomplish in each and every heart. I pray that you'd remove every hindrance in my mind and my heart, cleanse me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you would help us. I pray that your will would be done. And I pray that you would speak to hearts tonight. And Lord, we just pray that you would do a work that would honor your Son, the Lord Jesus, and that would be a help and a blessing to your people tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I wonder how many people tonight, you're waiting on God to do something in your life. Maybe you're asking the question, I wonder if God's ever going to bring home my wayward child. Or maybe it's, I wonder if God is ever going to fix my broken home. I wonder if God is ever going to do something about my marriage situation. I wonder if there's someone here tonight that has a heavy heart because of a job situation, maybe. You've been praying about that thing with seemingly no answer. I wonder if there's any young people here tonight and they're just wondering, is Mr. Wright or Miss Wright out there? Do they exist? Is it ever going to happen? Sometimes I wonder, is God ever going to send revival? These things weigh heavy on our hearts sometimes. We carry burdens. We pray. We go before God's throne. We claim promises. We read about past revivals. We know that God's capable. We know that God's willing to do it again. But we wonder if he's going to. Or maybe when he's going to. Or maybe it's that special request nobody knows about tonight but you. Something that just lays heavy upon your heart. There's not a time that you don't go before God that you mention that request. Maybe only you know what it is. I'm just saying tonight that sometimes we find ourselves in the same place that David found himself here in Psalm 13. Sometimes it seems like God is distant. I didn't say that God was distant. I said sometimes it seems that God is distant. We pray, but we wonder, like David did. Four times in the first two verses, he asked God, how long? Did you see him? Verse number one, two times. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? God, when are you going to do something about this situation? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Our pastor's been preaching recently about the God that's alive, and I'm glad he is tonight. Our God's alive and well. And I want to tell you tonight, sometimes the God who's alive, he chooses to hide himself from our view. God's always at work. He's always working together for good to those that love him according to his purpose. He's doing that in our lives. But you remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24? The Bible says that Jesus had risen from the dead. They thought that Jesus had been crucified, had no idea that he had arose. They're walking back to Emmaus, going to go back home. The Bible says that Jesus came and stood near to them, but the Bible says that their eyes were holding, that they should not know him. Jesus walking right beside them the whole time, they didn't even know it. God sometimes chooses to withhold our vision, and it seems like he's distant sometimes. So the question, the message tonight is, how do we respond? How do we respond when we find ourselves in verse number one and verse number two? Right? We've been praying. Maybe your heart's broken tonight. You wonder, why do I keep praying for this wayward child? Why do I keep praying for this job situation? Why do I keep praying about this family situation? Is it even the will of God? It seems like there's just no answer. You ask, you beg, you cry, you plead, you claim God's promises, you try to do more. No answer. And you start to get where David got in verse number one, forever, right? Something going to change? What do I do when I get to that place? How do I respond? Well, there's three ways we can respond when we find ourselves in that how long situation. The first way to respond is just simply, we respond in pain. That's just a very honest answer. I don't think there's anything wrong with David's response. I don't think there was anything sinful about his questioning here. Many people say, well, you're not supposed to question God. And I do believe that there can be a sinful questioning of God and an arrogant questioning of God. But even Jesus on the cross questioned God. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I believe David's just being honest. He's just pouring out his heart before God. And maybe tonight you find yourself in that place of despair, darkness, and seemingly no answer, a distant God. And tonight, the answer, number one, is you just respond in pain. You just pour out your soul to God. I think sometimes we wrongfully think, well, it would be wasting my time to carry on in such a way that David is. Be wasting my time to just pour out honestly what's in my heart before God. Well, I want to say something about this responding in pain and pouring out our heart before God. There has to be a balance between pouring out our heart honestly and pouring out our heart in humility. I think David's being very honest here before God, is he not? Lord, how long are you going to forget me? God, it seems like you have forgotten. Lord, it seems like the enemy is going to get the advantage. And it seems like David's been in this situation for quite some time now. He's saying, how long? Over and over again. God, how long are things going to be like this? Right? How long is it going to be this way? And he's being honest before God. And I don't think there's anything wrong with asking God, Lord, this thing's bothering me. God, I desire to do your will. I want an answer, God. Give me some sort of a sign or manifestation of your presence. Let me know that you're there. Right? Honest before God. God, I just want to see you do something. Let me know you're there. But at the same time, he was very humble because you find him addressing the Lord as Lord. Right? He knows. He's talking to Jehovah God. Verse number one, capital L-O-R-D. Verse number three, capital L-O-R-D. So he doesn't get arrogant. He's not getting bitter and arrogantly asking God to come and fix things and revolve everything around him. Right? Now that would be wrong. I'm not asking you. I'm not advising you to do that tonight. I'm not telling you to get arrogant or bitter. But I think it'd be a good thing just to be honest before God. But while you're honest, stay humble and realize, hey, you're talking to God. You're talking to God. You may be in that place tonight, and you may think that God's 1,000 miles away. He might be really close. Just remember who he is. Respond honestly, respond humbly, but then respond honorably. Go to God. Right? Don't so many times, Pastor BJ mentioned maybe this past year, year before, about he was talking about prayer, I believe, and you know, so many times we just, before we get in the prayer closet, we'll just post it on social media, right? Pray for me, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but listen, social media can't give me what God can give me. We need to go to God. Can I ask you this? When's the last time you went to God with that thing that was laying heavy on your heart? Not the pastor, not a friend, not a spouse, not a brother or a sister. When's the last time you spent some time before God just pouring it out? Honestly, in humility, going before God. Because I'm going to tell you, nobody else can do it like God can do it. Nobody else can give the answer like God can. What you need is for God to show up, not necessarily for somebody to pat you on the back. Now, pats on the back feel good, don't they? If we're all honest. But I don't think David needed a pat on the back right here. I think he needed God to show up. Amen. And that's what you and I need when we get in that situation. So, number one, we respond in pain. Are you hurting tonight? You got a heavy heart? Listen, go to God. In pain, go to God. Number two, we respond in prayer. That's verse number three and verse number four. Notice what David said. Verse number three, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Can I tell you, a lot of times when we find ourselves in this situation, we're praying, no answer, pray, no answer. Listen, years can pass. Praying, no answer. Doesn't seem like God's interested. Doesn't seem like God's involved whatsoever. Isn't it so easy to neglect the prayer closet in times like that? We feel like, what good is it? What's the use? I've already prayed about that, right? God's not answering. God's not interested. David, he kept praying, didn't he? He said, you know what? I feel like the heavens are made of brass. I feel like maybe God's forgotten me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray. That's what he said, isn't it? He said, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, God. Show me. Open my eyes, God. Help me. So he's praying. You respond in prayer. Can I say that verse number 5 and 6 is where we're going, and that's kind of the summit. I mean, that's the good part. But you don't get to verse 5 and verse number 6 until you go through verse 1 through 4. Right? So many times we're in the situation, how long, God? When are you going to answer? When are you going to come through? When are you going to send the Mr. Right? When are you going to answer the job situation? When are you going to answer this financial burden? And then we just want to skip to going from that right to verse number 5 and verse number 6. Woo! Right? God's great. Well, how much time have you spent in verse 3 and 4? Right?
I mean, how much have you taken that thing that's troubling you before God's throne and just poured it out and spent some time in prayer?
We may spend so little time in verse 5 and 6 because we spend so little time in verse 3 and 4. Does that make sense? I want to be in verse 5 and 6. We're getting there. But I'm telling you, we got to spend some time in the prayer closet. We've got to respond in prayer. Can I tell you, it helps. How many of you remember the story of Hannah? She was asking for a baby. She was heartbroken, wasn't she? I mean, she was barren. And she went into the temple there and was just pouring out her soul. The Bible says that she was praying, but she wasn't even saying words, but her lips were moving. You remember what Eli thought? Man, he thought that she had been drinking, right? And just paraphrasing, you know, he thought that she had came and that she was being a reproach, and she had to correct him. She said, no, it's not that. I'm just in bitterness of soul. But you know what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 1:18? You can write that reference down and read it when you get home. 1 Samuel 1:18. The Bible says after Hannah, after she poured it out before God, you know what she did? She got up and went home, and her countenance, the Bible says this, her countenance was no more sad. How about that? Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but I always think of that story, and I think of Hannah in bitterness, and I think of her pouring out her soul, and I can see her weeping, but for some reason, I never picture her getting up and leaving without a sad countenance. But the Bible says that's what happened. She went before God. She poured it out. I believe she did what David did in verse number 3 and verse number 4. And she went home and her countenance was no more sad, the Bible says. So it helps. You say, Brother Brandon, what do? You respond in pain. You respond, number 2, in prayer. Two things quickly about this prayer. I believe it was a passionate prayer. Well, what's David asking for here? This is interesting to me. He doesn't really even seem like he's got a very specific request. A little bit, maybe. Considering, hear me, he says, lighten mine eyes. But he's not necessarily asking for strength. He's not asking for vengeance upon the enemy. Maybe David just wanted God's attention. Right? God, I just want to know that you're hearing me. I just want to be assured that you're there. You ever been there? See, what if we become more concerned about God's presence than God's answers? See, so many times I go before the throne room, I want answers, right? We want answers. We want solutions, right? I'm going before God. Fix it, God. And God does fix it many times. What about this time? May just need God's presence. He prayed passionately, consider and hear me. Not only passionately, he prayed properly. Verse number 3 and verse number 4, he's interested in God's glory, isn't he? That's a good way to pray. God, do something. I don't want the enemy to get the advantage. That's basically what he's saying. Look at verse number 4. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. God, you've got to do something here. And the enemy's going to overcome. The enemy's going to overtake us. They're going to mock you. They're going to mock your people. God, help. God, would you be interested in doing this for your name's sake? Not just for me. Not just to get me out of trouble. God, do it for your name's sake. That's a good way to pray. That's a good model. Pray passionately. Pray properly, meaning be interested in not only your situation, be interested in the glory of God. That'll help you to pray the right way. And then the last way that we respond is not only in pain, and number 2, in prayer, but we respond in praise. And that's what David did in verse number 5 and verse number 6. Notice verse number 5, the first word, right? But. Something major is about to change, right? I mean, verse 5 and verse 6, if you were to just take them out, I mean, they're completely different than verse 1 through 4, aren't they? You know what's interesting is nothing changed in David's circumstance between verse 4 and verse 5. Nothing changed. God hadn't, as far as we know, the Bible does not necessarily say, but it's all in one psalm. I believe David wrote this in one setting. And he's saying, but I have trusted in thy mercy. In the same situation that he was. How does he do that? right? Notice here that David knows that the answer is not necessarily work, but it's worship. You see, sometimes we find ourselves in the situation where, God, I want an answer, I need an answer, and we feel like, well, I got to do more, right? I'll get involved in more ministries. I'll show God that I'm really committed. I'll show God that I'm really going after. I'm really trying to do right. And working's not a bad thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't get involved. But David was interested in worshiping God. He said, you know what? I'm going to praise you. I'm not going to try to take on a new ministry. I'm going to start praising God. That's what David said. He said, I'm going to respond in praise. Nothing's changed about his situation. You know what that is? That's faith. That's faith. David said, you know what? Hey, you know what? God's good. God hadn't changed. I don't know all the answers. I don't know if I'll get an answer. I don't know if the answer that I get will be one I like. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to praise God. That's what David said. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to allow the enemy to get me discouraged. I'm not going to get mad at a brother or sister. My circumstances haven't changed one bit. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to respond in praise. That's not easy. Can I tell you the first two responses, not really a big deal. Can I tell you that the first two responses, pain, prayer, a lot of lost people do that. Right? They get in a bad situation. They pray, right? God, you got to help me. I've tried everything else. I mean, you probably know people not even saved that do that. So it's really, I'm not trying to make light of it, but it's not a huge deal that you go before God in pain and in prayer when it seems like God is very distant. But what is a big deal is when you can respond in praise. I mean, listen, how many times have we just been absolutely heartbroken? I'm not talking about something fake and something shallow. But can I tell you that, listen, those of us that are saved, those of us that have eternal life, listen, we have the ability, we have the consciousness to know, hey, listen, God's alive. And no matter what my circumstances are, when I come in to worship God, I can come in, I can sing. I can come in and I can rejoice. Amen. We can respond in praise tonight. Nothing has changed. David makes a choice. Now tonight, listen, I don't know. Maybe you're at a crossroads. What are you going to choose to do? Right? You've been praying about that wayward child. You've been praying about that home. You've been praying about that future spouse, that job. You've been praying for God to work, God to do something. You're at a crossroads. How many more church services are you going to come to without responding in praise? Huh? Don't we try to justify it so many times? Well, nobody else knows what I'm going through. I'm just going to kind of humdrum sing through this one. Yeah. I've been there. Right? I say, well, God knows where I'm at. Hey, you know what? God knew where David was, but David said, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I like the words that David uses. He said, verse number five, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice. David said, I made up my mind. My heart's going to rejoice in thy salvation. Verse number six, I will sing. That's what he said. I'm not going to wait on a feeling. I'm not going to wait on an answer. You know what David said? I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to open up the hymn book, and I'm going to sing to God. Even if things are the same as they were last week, even if I don't get an answer, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise God. Verse number 1 through 4 is reactive. Verse number 5 and 6 is proactive. See the progression in the psalm. I wrote this down. You may not shout your way out of the storm. You can shout through it. You can. See, so many times I've been guilty of shouting when I'm out of the storm, right? Man, it's easy to shout, rejoice, and sing when the sun's shining, isn't it? When the bills are paid, when God answers the prayer, when God saves a loved one. What about when God doesn't? What about then? I can shout through the storm. Amen. God's still good when the waves roll high, right? God's still good all through the night. When I've done all I can, I don't understand. God's still good. One songwriter put it this way: some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. He said, some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. God will give you a song in the night season. He gave David one. You know what David did? He chose to sing it. It was a choice. It wasn't a feeling. It was a choice that David made. Now, how could he do that? How could David do this? Listen, in all the uncertainties, and I'm sure David had a lot of them, in all of the uncertainties, David's praying. He doesn't know where God is. He doesn't know if God's forgotten him. He doesn't know if it's going to be forever. Doesn't know if God's going to answer. All of these uncertainties. Well, you say, well, Brother Brandon, well, he knew that he was anointed king. He did know that. But I believe even at this point in David's life, he was probably beginning to wonder, am I ever going to realize the throne? Is that even really going to be a reality? I know God's anointed me to be king. I think David's at the point where he's just like, I don't know what's going to happen. I honestly don't know. You ever been there? Have you? I mean, listen, I'm not talking about salvation. We know that we're saved. We know that our names are written in the book of life. That's cause to rejoice. But have you ever been in a time where you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. I know what I think God's will is. I know what I want to happen. I know what God's put in my heart, but I don't know. There's a lot of uncertainties about the situation. But in all of those uncertainties, David said, you know what? I'm going to focus on the one thing that I know is certain. And it's not a thing. It's a person, right? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. David said, I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to focus on His mercy, verse number 5. I'm going to trust in His mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord. Why? Because He hath dealt bountifully with me. David said, listen, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this. God's been good to me. God's good. Are you saved tonight? Hey, maybe you need to take a trip down memory lane, right? Or maybe you don't need to tonight, but I'm going to tell you, it's good every now and then to take a trip down memory lane and remember where God found us, right? Remember where you were before you got saved, lost on your way to hell. I mean, 1,000 miles away from God. Isn't it amazing that the Holy Ghost of God came and convicted us in the situation that we were in? I mean, hope, without God, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2. Walking in darkness, no hope. God came by, didn't He? Convicted us, turned the lights on, showed us our need, saved us. If He didn't do anything else, if God doesn't do anything, if God doesn't answer any more of my requests, it's real easy to preach. It's harder to practice. But if God never answers another one of my requests, I can always go back to September the 11th, 1996. I can say, you know what? I don't know about all that other stuff. I don't know. Right? Job, family, finances, health. I don't know. This special request that I pray for daily, I don't know. But here's what I do know. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And God's been better to me than I deserve. And if He doesn't do anything else for me, I can open up my hymn book and I can praise Him. I can praise Him. You know what this world needs? It needs some Christians who's got some depth about them. Right? It's easy, right, to be happy when things are good. I mean, it's easy to sing when God's answered the prayer. You know what this world needs? The world needs to see some Christians who are able to go through that valley still singing. Not only sing with the smile on their face, be able to still sing with joy in their heart, even though they got tears streaming down their cheeks. Because they know, man, there's something in my life. There's a lot of things changing down here, and I don't know, a lot of uncertainties. But man, there's one thing I know is never going to change. And that's Jesus. He's never going to change. He's the same place He is tonight that He's always been. And that's what we got to look at tonight. That's what we have to look at, Jesus Christ. And that's what David did. You say in conclusion, you say, why in the world would God choose to hide Himself? I don't know. But I think maybe one reason, why is because God's trying to build us. I think God's trying to make us into the Christians I was just explaining. Listen, lost people can be excited when things are going good. But can I tell you the thing that's going to separate it? We're supposed to be different from the world, right? We've got the Holy Spirit of God living in our heart. We've got the Word of God. The thing that's going to set us apart is when we're able to still praise God, still worship God in the midst of all kind of uncertainties. You know what we ought to do tonight? We ought to determine like David. You know what? I don't have all the answers about these requests, these burdens upon my heart. I know this. I'm going to sing. So that's hard. Don't feel like singing. Doesn't matter if you feel like it. You don't. It's easier to sing when you feel good. Maybe the feelings will come if you just start singing on faith. Has that ever happened to you before? Amen. I tell you what we're going to do. Sister Carrie, where are you at? We're going to practice what we preach. So I asked Sister Carrie, I got with her right before I preached, and we're going to stand and open up to page number 212. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. And Michael's not down here, so I'm going to turn this off, Brother Jonathan. I'm still going to sing. Give me just a moment. And let's practice what we preach. Let's sing it out. Page number 212. Let's sing it out. All four verses, all right? Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed. Sing it out. Verse number 2. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to Him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill His house while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed. Think about it. Sing the third verse. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Last verse. Now rest my long divided heart, fixed on this blissful center rest, nor ever from my Lord depart,
with Him of every good possessed. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Amen. I hope that gave the devil just the biggest black eye. Amen. Hey, listen, some things I don't know about. I know this, verse number 3, 'tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's. He is mine. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a lot of uncertainties. But let's focus on the things that are certain. There may not be a whole lot, but if it's just Him, that's enough. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the privilege to be in Your house tonight. I pray that You would help us to take these words, apply them to our life, situations that we find ourselves. Lord, there's times when You seem distant, but Lord, we know that You promised that You would never leave us nor forsake us, and that You're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. For that we thank You. Help us to respond in ways that would honor You when we find ourselves where David found Him in Psalm 13. For what You do, well, thank You. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just say this. Listen, if you need some spiritual help or counsel, come and see myself, Pastor BJ. There's other good godly men or godly ladies. Be happy to help you in any way that we can. In the meantime, God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week. We'll see you, Lord willing, on Sunday.